Tesla's Q3 delivery and production report. As a reminder, we're just doing a hangout here as we wait for the report. There's no guarantees of when this report comes out. Could be today, could be tomorrow. We don't know for sure. But my expectation is that it'll be 8:30 a.m. Eastern time, or sorry, 9:30 a.m. Eastern time here in the U.S. And we're just going to hang out for a bit, and hopefully we get the report at that point in time. But if not, I guess we'll see how it goes. If you are tuning into this later, check the timestamps for the delivery report. I'll put that when it actually comes out in the timestamps, so you can just fast forward through all the rest of the stuff if you're just looking for the delivery and production numbers afterwards. So that being said, I think I need to actually adjust my poll because I think I made the incorrect time there on our poll. And let me just make sure that I don't have anything running here that's going to mess up the audio, which I think I did. So hopefully that didn't start looping yet. Redo the poll. All right. Yeah, we gotta get this straightened out. That's what happens when you start earlier on the weekend. All right, give me a second here. Let's see. I gotta reopen up the video. And that poll, not a very helpful poll. Will deliveries actually be released? Great way to start the live stream, right, guys? Before 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. Yes. No. All right. So we got the new poll up. You guys can go ahead and vote on that while we wait. And let me get myself reoriented here. Okay, so where I'm at right now, I'm just on the Tesla investor page. This is ir.tesla.com. So if you want to follow along for the F5 session, which is refreshing hotkey on Windows, Command R for me on Mac here. But you can follow along on the Tesla investor relations page, just ir.tesla.com. And if you want to go directly to where we assume the release will be posted, you can just click here on this production and delivery press release from Q2. That'll open up the Q2, so that's the Q2 numbers, just to be clear. And then you can go in on the top, your navigation bar, and just change the URL from Tesla-Q2-2021 to be Tesla-Q3. So they do follow a similar format. They could change it up, so we're going to keep both pages open. But that's where I'm just going to kind of be refreshing most of the time, and then we'll also follow along on Twitter, just with the Tesla stock hashtag, which obviously not super valuable at the moment, being spammed. Normally, when it comes out during the week, we can kind of get a sense of if it's been released based on what's happening with the numbers, either pre-market or aftermarket. But today being Saturday, of course, we don't really get any of that, unfortunately. So we're just going to kind of have to sit here and see what happens. We're at 8:06 a.m. right now, Central Time, my time zone, so we'll see how it goes. So that's where I'm at right now. Let's just flip back to Excel and we can go through just kind of where I'm at, level set, where I'm expecting the numbers to come in. Looks like my formatting got a little bit messed up here, so let me just quickly fix that. Ecamm Live is not the best. Yeah, there we go. Yep. I hope you guys can still hear me. I don't think I messed it up. Okay. I think we're good. Let's see. So, as you guys have seen before, this is my production tracking sheet. So, we obviously went through this earlier this week. Not going to spend a ton of time on it, but just as a reminder, I am expecting production to come in at 251,000 vehicles for the quarter. It'd be up 22% quarter over quarter. And then I am expecting deliveries to be a little bit less than that. Again, I don't care too much about deliveries necessarily, but I'm expecting around 247,000 with inventory building up slightly. So I do apologize. I made this a little bit confusing in terms of how I labeled this. So if a few people had questions on this inventory column that I had here, that should just be change in inventory. Obviously, inventory can't go negative. So I'm just expecting inventory to build up. And we could probably, while we've got some spare time here, calc out what Tesla's actual inventory is just based on the earnings report. So maybe we'll do that here in a second. But just getting back to what I'm expecting, again, 251,000 produced, 247,000 delivered. So when we get those numbers, we'll put them in here. We'll update the actuals. And then I've also got Q4 just kind of loaded up in here. And we can put some guesses out there for Q4 and see how the year might come in once we get the actual Q3 numbers. Let me get my setup here again. Freeze pane's not cooperating. There we go. All right, so let's go back and check over into the investor page again, and then I'll hop into the chat and we can see what you guys want to talk about for the next 20 minutes or so. Let's just make sure no numbers yet, though. Not seeing anything there. Oh, and keep an eye out for fake numbers. I've already seen, you know, people that have jokes. Happens a lot around releases like this. All right, so let's see. I'm just going to head back to the top and just make sure we get through any super chats here first. Thanks to John for that super chat before we even started. Appreciate that. Oh, and look at that. I already answered one of them. So Bradley was asking about the inventory number. So I think I explained that, but yeah, it's just looking at the change in inventory, not the total inventory. So we can calc that here in a second. But my apologies for that. Thank you. Butcher the name on this, but Vigar. Appreciate that. Thank you, Rob. Evan here asking, how likely is it that you think Lucid, Rivian, etc. will be able to successfully scale production? I mean, Rivian is very well funded. They have a lot of runway. And I think the rumor is they're trying to IPO at like $75 billion or something like that. Like they've got plenty of capital, plenty of time. I don't think it's really a question of if they scale production. I think it's more of a question of when and how high. You know, there's not too much doubt for me that we'll see Rivian pickup trucks out there, Rivian delivery vans out there, the R1S as well. I definitely think they'll get there. If they'll get there fast enough to be at a level competitive with Tesla, I doubt it. So I'm not really too worried about that as anything relating to Tesla. Again, even if Tesla achieves their targets for 2030, you're looking at, you know, 25% market share, something in that range. So there's plenty of market to go around, especially for those smaller players right now, like Rivian and Lucid. As for Lucid, tougher to say with them. I guess I've been a little bit... I don't love everything that Rivian has done, but I've been a little bit more... I guess not necessarily like impressed with them, but I feel like they just are a little bit... I don't know, more transparent, I guess might be a way to put it. I think they'll probably get there too, but I just... Yeah, a little bit less interested in Lucid. Thank you, Anders. And Eric, thank you. Henning, thank you. TK, thanks for the sticker. Hey, hey. Eric, my parents live in Economowoc. When I visit, I'd like to buy you lunch. Yeah, that'd be fun. Shoot me an email. No guarantees it happens, but I do like Economowoc. I used to go out there all the time for work. Well, not Economowoc, but head in that direction for work. All right, so actually give me 1 second here. I gotta adjust this screen. Hopefully I can do it without messing it up too much. Perfect. All right, so let's go to... back to Tesla's IR page. And again, we'll just check and see if the numbers are out. Doesn't look like it yet. So let's just look at inventory, because this is something that I actually wanted to go through a little bit earlier when we went through the production and delivery estimates. We didn't have a chance to get to it. But if you're ever curious about where Tesla's inventory stands, you can go in here in the earnings report, and Tesla gives it to you right there. So global vehicle inventory, days of supply. So you can see how it's trended over time. It's declined pretty significantly in terms of days of supply this year, but you also have to understand how that is calculated. So Tesla explains that down here. They just say days of supply is calculated by dividing new car ending inventory by the relevant quarter's deliveries and using 75 trading days aligned with Automotive News definition. So to do that calculation, then we know Tesla's got 9 days of supply. We need to figure out how much a day of supply actually is. You take the deliveries, 201,304, divided by 75. That gets you a day. That gets you 2,684 vehicles is 1 day of supply. Tesla's got 9 days of supply. So they're 24,156. That's too much precision, but 24,000 vehicles in inventory at the end of Q2. So 9 days of supply might not seem like a lot, and relative to other automakers, it's not, but it is still 24,000 vehicles there in stores, in transit, wherever, sitting on some parking lot somewhere that Tesla wasn't able to get in the hands of customers at the end of Q2. And again, that built up by approximately 5,000 vehicles at the end of Q2. So you can see, let's just do the math here quick on Q1. You can see 8 days of supply. Again, you have to calculate days of supply from the deliveries there. So 184,877 divided by 75 times 8. You're at about 19,700. So that's how you can see the inventory build up over time. It went from 19.7 all the way up to 24,000 last quarter, roughly. So if you're ever curious, that's where you can find the inventory. So it wouldn't actually shock me if Tesla was able to work inventory down this quarter. I spent a decent amount of time trying to decide if I wanted to show inventory declining or inventory increasing. I think it's more likely that it increases, but I don't think it's impossible for deliveries to outpace production because, again, they do have 24,000 vehicles there and they did grow inventory last quarter. All right, so Christopher here asking, regardless of how good legacy EVs are, I'm interested in your thoughts on how impactful a dealership model is on their potential volume. I don't think the dealership model is necessarily like a hindrance in terms of volume. I mean, for EVs, it might be a little bit. I understand people think that dealers don't want to sell EVs because then they can't get them back in for, miscellaneous service that an engine needs. And I think that's a really good point. So it is probably a hindrance from that perspective. But at the same time, I think maybe the more impactful part of dealerships is the margin. Obviously, that's being shared versus Tesla capturing all of it because Tesla's vertically integrated in that way. And this is something I like to say to people that are newly being initiated to Tesla as a business. Even if you view Tesla as just an automaker and you ignore energy and you ignore autonomy and all that stuff, Tesla is not really even still comparable to other automakers because you've got, I'm just going to refresh here, you've got all this vertical integration, all the way through. You've got Tesla going deeper into the supply chain than other automakers. Perfect example of that being battery day. Obviously, we're still working towards that, but even aside from batteries, Tesla is further vertically integrated in the supply chain than other automakers. So you have to capture that part of the value chain in your valuation of the business. Then you have Tesla taking over the fueling side of the vehicle with superchargers. You've got Tesla taking over, obviously, deliveries with stores, and you got Tesla owning service too. So just the entire way through the value chain of the automotive business, which is huge, it's massive business. Tesla's just collecting revenue and margin from all those different areas, versus, traditional legacy automakers. It's just not how they operate. So even if you just look at Tesla as an automotive company, it's not fair to compare valuations with companies that just aren't in as many areas of business as they are. Arpit, I don't know how to pronounce that one again. I'm sorry, I'm terrible with that. In a recent interview, Elon said he has to sell some of his shares in Q4 before it expires. Are you familiar with this? And if so, could you elaborate? Yes, so Elon said this in the Kara Swisher interview. I didn't mention it because I still need to do a little bit of work on what exactly that means. In terms of what Elon's deadlines are, I think these are from his first compensation plan, maybe second compensation plan, CEO performance plan, back in 2012. So I think we're coming up on 10 years there. I don't know if it's actually Q4. I thought it was actually like Q3 next year. So yeah, I just have to do a little bit of work on that. But so what's going to happen there is when Elon exercises those options that he's earned, which are extremely valuable now because of what the share price has done. If the share price had done nothing, they would be worthless. But because the share price has gone up so much, they're extremely valuable. I think tens of billions of dollars worth of compensation that Elon will be earning. And he just has to exercise because there's a deadline. And if he didn't exercise, then he would just lose all that money. So he'll have to exercise. When he does that, it's counted as, I believe, income. I would need to look at that. I don't think it's actually like long-term capital gains. I think it's actually income. So that's where Elon was saying he gets taxed at, you know, 53% or whatever. And let's just say it's $10 billion. Well, then his tax liability is $5.3 billion. So that has to come from somewhere. Elon could get a margin loan to cover that and not sell any of those shares that he's exercised. But that would be a pretty sizable margin loan, even for someone, you know, worth what Elon's worth, $150, $200 billion or whatever. So basically what happens when executives exercise those contracts is that they have to then sell a portion of what was exercised to cover that tax bill. So maybe Elon will exercise his options for, just again, simple math. Let's say it's 100 shares. Obviously it's many times more than that, but let's just say it's 100 shares. Elon could then sell half of them to cover his tax bill, keep the other half, and just continue holding those long term. So that's what I would expect. But yeah, it could create a little bit of selling pressure on the stock. It's not something that I am worried about. If you're trading short term, maybe something to be aware of. But you know, this was always going to happen. It's going to happen again in, you know, 6 years or whatever, whenever the next compensation plan starts to expire. So just part of the, you know, part of how the business goes. Let's see. So Henning, Rob, if you would start all over again with $100,000 today, would you bet all on Tesla for a 10-year investment horizon, or would you split it? I'm only going for Tesla for 100K. Yeah, I mean, we talk about that. First of all, 100K is a lot of money. So there's, you know, that's a different number for a lot of different people. But I'm hesitant to give any, you know, specific thoughts on that, just because everyone's situation is different, right? Like so let's say you're 22 and I don't know, maybe you invested in like NFTs in college and now all of a sudden you have $100,000 and you don't want to invest in NFTs anymore. If you're in that situation, going 100% all in on Tesla, I think, you know, would make sense. Maybe putting some of that into even a riskier investment would make sense too. If you're almost at retirement, I mean, it doesn't really make sense with the numbers, but if you're almost at retirement, going 100% all in on Tesla maybe doesn't make quite as much sense. I do think Tesla is a lot stabler now, but, you know, any individual stock, there's going to be inherent volatility. So if you need the money, you gotta recognize that there's going to be volatility and you gotta not count on having that money for a long time. I know here in the question, you're asking about 10 years. So I guess the premise of the question really comes down to the risk-adjusted return you get with Tesla versus another company. So just for context, like, or another asset. So just for context, like, I'm not 100% Tesla, but I'm pretty darn close. And I use leverage, various forms, margin, options, different things. So I mean, I guess theoretically I'm probably 100% plus Tesla, but it just depends if you think you can get a better return elsewhere. Like, Tesla's not going to 100x from here, as much as I would love that, and as much as some YouTubers might want to suggest that. It's not going to 100x from here. If it does, I will be happily wrong. But there are other, so certainly other assets that could 100x. And if you can find one of those and you can feel confident in it, you know, why not go all in on that then? Turn your $100,000 into whatever that would be, $10 million. Versus with Tesla, maybe we get a 10x. I think that's definitely still on the table. So yeah, anyway, long way of saying it just depends. I'm confident in Tesla. I feel like it's a good risk adjusted return, plenty of upside, pretty low risk relative for being so concentrated. And I think Tesla has a lot of diversity within its own business too. And that helps me feel a little bit more comfortable with, don't need to refresh that, with just the business. So give me 1 second here. I don't want to just like chat here forever. I'm trying to also stay in the loop on what's going on. Hey, Brandon. I accidentally pulled up Q2. Yeah, you got to be careful about that. Don't look at those old numbers. It might not be what you want to see. Yeah, so it looks like we're not seeing anything. Yeah, what's Gary saying here? Biden's infrastructure plan in limbo. And yeah, so the infrastructure plan, we haven't really talked about this, but it sounds like it's getting scaled down a little bit from, you know, $3.5 trillion or whatever it was to more like $2 trillion. We'll see what impact, if any, that has on like the EV tax credit. Personally, I actually think that they could bring that down, the tax credit. $12,500 that's a lot. I think we could probably spend it better in different ways. Seth, good question, but no answer. Rob here asking, do you think the current estimates of around 230,000 vehicles is already priced in the stock, or do you think we'll head back towards 900? So good question. I try to not prognosticate too much on short-term stuff like that. I think you guys all kind of know that, but I should have mentioned at the beginning, current consensus is around 222,000 deliveries, but that is sort of like an old consensus. It's been around that for a long time, and I think recently, at least to me, it feels like consensus is going up. You know, we saw Alex Potter come out with a higher estimate. I think Dan Ives came out with a higher estimate, or said that he would have a higher estimate. I don't know if he actually changed it. But I think that consensus has been creeping up. Pardon me. Due to probably the news that we've been hearing out of China. I think that's definitely bringing consensus up. So I think it's probably more around like 230, maybe even a little bit higher than that, is my guess on what people are expecting. If we hit that, you know, look, my best guess is that the stock would kind of stay flat, and then as we get closer to earnings, I would guess that it rises up because people are actually going to put the numbers into their earnings forecasts, and I think they're not going to fully realize what it does, but they'll start to realize what that does in terms of the impact that it's going to have on Tesla's financials. And I think once people realize that, maybe the stock starts to come up a little bit. But any forecast like that, you're forecasting the macro environment just as much as you're forecasting Tesla. And the macro environment, you know, who knows what happens. Like if the NASDAQ goes down 10%, it's going to be really hard for Tesla to go up. So it doesn't mean it can't happen, but you know, that's, if you're making bets like that, that's kind of what you're betting on too. Anyway, for consensus, yeah, I think it needs to be probably above 235 for it to make much of a difference next week, but again, who knows. And I also wouldn't be surprised if a beat, it just kind of like sits there for a little bit and then starts to take off. That's kind of what I said for like 235 or whatever, but say we get 245, 250, you know, I don't think it'll be 250, it'd be awesome. Say we get 245, sometimes it just takes the market some time to realize what's going on. And it, also the options market, like all that stuff influences how the underlying stock trades. So it's a very difficult thing to predict, and obviously no one can do it very well. Those that can, probably not podcasting. As much as I think I'm a pretty smart guy, if I could predict with that level of certainty, yeah. I mean, I do like podcasting, so maybe I would still be doing it. We'll see. All right, anyway, Kits Tech here. For people that ordered in June, Do you think we're getting any Model Y deliveries by the end of October? Oh, and how's Dave doing in space? Is Dave in space? I don't know that I understand that reference. I think Dave went down to... Oh, okay. I'm guessing it's because Dave went down to... Dave Lee went down to Starbase, and then I guess he hasn't been making videos. I don't know, but guessing that's a joke there, which is a good joke. Anyway, June, end of October. I don't know. I haven't followed that. I just know there's a long wait time. That's all the context that really matters for me, so I don't really have much of an answer for you on that one, unfortunately. How many people we got in here? Can you guys just put me in the chat, like, how many people are... It doesn't show me. But we're getting close here, so... I'm trying to get to a couple more questions here. Ben, thank you. Estimate is 242,000. I hope your number is closer. Me too. We'll see. I think I might be a little bit high on Fremont numbers. Yeah, I don't know. Just also, I mean, before we even get the numbers, like, I know people like to judge all the prognosticators and forecasters out there based on how close the numbers are. Like, I don't try to express that I have super high level of confidence in these forecasts. I mean, last quarter I was like right on. I was within 1% production, 1% deliveries. It was a great forecast. But I'm not out here parading it around because I think I'm like some amazing forecaster. I think I'm pretty good at it, but you know, part of that is just luck. So I don't pretend to have like this extremely high level of accuracy or this extreme insight. Like, I walk through everything, all the information that I have with you guys so that you can, you know, see where the logic comes from, because that's more important. Why I do the forecast is so we understand the context when we actually get the numbers. So if it comes in at 250, we kind of have a good idea of what happened. If it came in at 220, well, something is off and we need to figure that out. And since we did the pre-work, we can figure it out more quickly. So I'm gonna like start spamming refresh here. Wouldn't surprise me if we don't get the numbers. Because of course, why would we get them? See if there's anything going on Twitter yet. Doesn't look like it. Yeah, this is where it's nice to have the market open, because you can just watch the stock, and when you see a spike in one direction, well, the numbers probably came out. All right, let's see. I do apologize. I feel like I'm probably going to end up missing some super chats here if we do end up getting the numbers. I'm going to close that. We don't need that anymore. Refreshing so much, my computer is starting to turn its fans on. Alan asks if you know if Tesla's making a profit at the superchargers and the cost per kilowatt hour. I mean, they're probably around like 20 cents per kilowatt hour, so I would imagine there's like a marginal... They're probably making a marginal profit there. They have to pay for, like, obviously huge demand and loads. Like, it takes a lot of energy to power those cars, and it's, you know, on demand. So it takes a lot. So I don't know what their cost per kilowatt hour would be. I'm assuming they're turning a marginal profit on that, but it's probably not covering the production and things like that. I think Tesla probably just tries to operate it at net zero, if not a small loss. I don't think it's a huge profit center. All right, 8:32 Central Time. Not seeing anything yet. Which kind of bumming me out, because that means we might not get it right now. But we'll keep hanging out for a bit. I mean, I don't have... I do have other things to do, actually, but I don't have a deadline. Keep refreshing here. Nothing too much. All right, let me... David asking if I could do an episode on Tesla debt and credit rating. Honestly, not sure what there is to talk about there. Like, the ratings are stupid. It's kind of as simple as that. And I think they're just going to be even stupider after Q3. So I guess that's the episode. No, in all seriousness, though, it needs to be... I think it's long overdue for, like, Moody's and S&P to upgrade Tesla's Tesla's ratings there. It's, you know, not that that's an antiquated process, but they certainly are moving slowly with those upgrades. Jürgen asking for a poll with production quantity would be nice. I can do that here in a second, hopefully, once I get through the rest of these. Let's just make sure that there's no numbers out. Yeah, nothing yet. 4,000 viewers. Woo. Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for sharing. I'm just getting to that part of the chat, by the way. That's how far behind I am here. Scroll, refresh, read a comment, refresh. Hey, Rob, Rivian disclosed they have 50,000 reservations. Is 80 billion valuation a good thing? It's certainly good for Rivian. Is it good for investors? Well, if you invested earlier, it's good for you. Good for you. If you're investing now, maybe not so much. Obviously, they could grow into that valuation, but it's going to take a lot, and I don't have too much interest in that, that valuation. You know, they aren't public yet, so we don't have a ton of insight into their financials. Not that there's much to have insight into, since they haven't started shipping vehicles yet. But yeah, that's a little bit rich for my blood. Roy, morning from Norway. Someone told me in the comments yesterday, I was laughing. Somebody told me in the comments yesterday that I needed to calm down about Norway. I was like, what? It's like the calmest presentation ever. Specifically said that I normally don't like reporting on individual month sales in individual countries, but that's YouTube comments for you. Shout out to that guy if you're watching. All right, I think I finally got back to live in the chat. So let's see what we're gonna do. We're gonna do that poll. Oh man, yeah, I don't know if we're gonna get the numbers, guys. This might be a little bit of a just not a pre-delivery report hangout, just a Saturday morning hangout, I guess. I don't know what I'll relabel this video as if we don't get the numbers here. Oh, we got the dog meme there. Nice. Hopefully a listener. Let's see if they follow. Yeah. Someone here asking if I bet on Bitcoin too or only Tesla. So as I said, Tesla's the majority of my assets. But yeah, I do have a little bit of Bitcoin. Have a little bit of Bitcoin, have a little bit of Ethereum, have a little bit of Doge, because you got to have a little bit of Doge, right? But they're all very small positions. Doge, not even worth mentioning. Bitcoin and Ethereum, just very small positions. So I would say I'm like interested in cryptocurrency, and I think there's tons of potential. I'm probably a little bit more interested in Ethereum than Bitcoin, but it's not something I'm an expert on, certainly. So yeah, I understand why you asked the question, but I wouldn't really put much weight in my answer. Sizzle Bay, quite the name. Hi from Norway. We got a bunch of Norwegians listening in today. I don't know, maybe they'll post it at like 8:45. I think I'll probably stay on until 9 Central. John here asking if I see myself covering other stocks besides Tesla in the future. So I do have other plans. You know, I've talked about this before. Love doing Tesla stuff. Tesla's going to be an interesting company for at least another decade. But at the same time, like, there's other interesting stuff going on too. And I don't see any reason that I shouldn't be talking about other interesting stuff going on too. So yeah, I'd love to talk about other companies and other interesting stuff. Like, I know we talk about SpaceX and Neuralink sometimes. Obviously, there's tons to be excited about there, the Boring Company. But outside of Musk too, like, you know, there's other cool stuff happening in the world. So I do want to get more involved in that. I don't want to sacrifice what we're doing here. But I've alluded to stuff that I'm doing behind the scenes, which is Shout out to Patreon supporters. You guys really help support that. I'm making investments in helping just grow what I do here, which is, you know, hopefully provide you guys with a good resource that you can trust, that has, you know, good information, that's not just trying to like get your attention, but actually trying to provide you value. That's really what I want to do. You know, I want to provide people value. I want to make this whole investing thing better. You know, it's like, we've got legacy auto, we've got legacy Wall Street too, and I want to the extent that I can, help disrupt that. So that's what I'm working on. And yeah, you guys are very supportive of that, and I appreciate it. And I can't wait to, you know, things are in development right now, but I can't wait to actually start showing you guys some of that stuff. So yeah, we're not seeing too much, just a bunch of interesting GIFs on Twitter. Man, my nightmare would just be that these numbers come out, or like came out a long time ago and I just missed it. Live stream's always a little bit nerve-wracking. All right, somebody said five. Oh yeah, we're gonna do that poll. So let me just do that quick. We might get some looped audio here just for a second, because I have to actually open up the video page, and then it's gonna be some audio. So yep, there. Sorry about that. So looks like we got 2,700 votes in that last poll, and no has taken it, 58%. I don't know how many of you voted afterwards, but yeah, we did not get the numbers by 9:30, which is no fault of Tesla. This is just my assumption of when they would post. So. It's not like they're delayed or anything, but I'll wrap that poll up, and let's see. We'll create a new poll here. I think I can get like four options in here. So what do you expect Tesla... Shout out to my neighbor upstairs throwing stuff around their apartment. What do you expect Tesla deliveries to be in Q3? Can you guys hear that? It's so loud. So annoying. What do you expect Tesla deliveries to be in Q3? Where do we want to start the line at here? So we'll start at like 2. $225,000 to $230,000. And there's going to be some overlap here, I guess. So just do rounding. 231K to 235K. I'm sure the numbers will just come out when I'm doing this. Classic. I don't know. Let's do increments of 7,000, I guess. That might be best. 40. Yeah, that works pretty well. 241. 248K. I'm sure this is very fun for you guys. Sorry, I'm just thinking through the best structure here. To just sit here and mumble to myself for a bit. Awkward silence. 238. We'll do that, I guess. It's going to be kind of a weird poll. 39 to 247K. We're getting there. I wanted to draw the line at my estimate so that I think you guys might be a little bit influenced by my numbers, so it kind of helps. Not the best poll, but it'll do. That'll do, pig. Okay, that poll's up. If you guys want to vote on that, let's just make sure I didn't miss any numbers here while we did that. So that would be about par for the course. Doesn't look like it, though. Yeah, we didn't miss anything. Yeah, maybe we won't. Maybe we won't get the numbers today. I don't know. Let's see. Are there any like spammers in the chat that I can just ban right now while I'm looking? Seems like everyone's behaving pretty well. All right, let's check this poll. So early results. Ooh, we got 1,000 votes already. You guys are active. So 5% below 230,000. Probably not too surprising. 20% in between 230 and 238. 42% between 239 and 247. 33% above 247. Ooh, you guys are bullish. Doesn't surprise me, but got some bulls in the crowd. Fortunately, we do not have any delivery numbers yet. So, hey, let's pop over to Excel, right? When in doubt, spreadsheets. Also got another comment the other day that I had to laugh at too, that was like something about like stop being so in love with my spreadsheets or stop being so obsessed with spreadsheets. First of all, I don't think I use spreadsheets that often on the podcast. Second of all, it's about a business, so I think my reply was, imagine using spreadsheets to talk about business. I know it's a pretty out there concept, but all right, so let's just, while we wait here, I guess we are coming up on the 15-minute mark here in a second, so yeah, okay, we just flipped. So I'll just make sure that there's no report dropping on that 15-minute mark. Doesn't seem to be yet. Right, let's go back to Excel here then, and yeah, let's just talk about Q4 here for a second. It's obviously premature, but hey, when has that ever stopped anyone from forecasting stuff? So obviously this kind of hinges on what happens, but with Shanghai for September. But I've just for now put a placeholder in Q4 for like 100 or sorry for 50,000 units a month, because I think Tesla's heading in that direction. We heard the rumor about Model Y production hitting 1,600 as a peak rate in September for one day. They're not going to do that every day. They're just not going to. It would be three shifts 24/7, no downtime. It's not possible. But if they were to do that every day, that'd be 48,000 Model Y alone. And then you've got Model 3 on top of that, which has been at, 22,000. So you're at 70,000 there. That's peak. It's not going to happen. But I don't think getting to 60,000 is out of the question for one of these months. Maybe it's not every single month, but I'm not saying 150,000 for the quarter here is conservative, but certainly think it's well within the realm of possibilities. Now, then if you get Fremont, and let's say I'm a little bit high on Fremont this quarter. Let's just assume that that goes back to like 118,000 or whatever. Then maybe it ramps up a little bit more in Q4. We'll just assume that Model X production is poor. Since they're really just starting that now, maybe they get a couple thousand. So maybe we're at like 120,000. Then you'd be at 270,000. You'd be at, 10%, a little bit less than 10% quarter over quarter growth before we factor in Berlin and Texas. If Tesla can hit the number that I've put here for Q3, which again, obviously we don't know yet, the numbers that I've gotten here right now, this would be 908,000 for the year in terms of production. Obviously, deliveries could be significantly different, especially if there is a EV tax credit, because people are just not gonna, they're not gonna want to take delivery. If they're not going to want to take delivery if that tax credit happens, they're just going to want to delay until next year and get $10,000 or whatever it is. So Q4 could be a mess because of that. But again, all I care about is production for the most part. So I think 910,000 possible, and then layer in whatever you've got for Berlin and Texas. Maybe that adds 5,000, 10,000, 20,000. I'd probably put the line at like 10,000 between the two, but that's just kind of a guess. So that would get you to 918,000 then for the year. But let's say Shanghai can actually do like 60,000 just for fun. Let's say Fremont actually does hit this number, and then they also add in some Model X just for fun. Then maybe you get 10,000 from Berlin and Texas just for fun. Da-da-da-da. The numbers that are in there right now, that'd be 955,000 vehicles produced. I don't think that's what's going to happen. I also don't think it's impossible. So, and again, very premature to be even looking at this because we don't even know what Q3 is yet. Q3 production could come in at 230,000, and then, oh, all of a sudden we've got to take all these numbers down, take out 20,000 vehicles here, take these rates down. That's why I like to have these numbers ahead of time, go through these forecasts ahead of time so we understand the context of what we're looking at, understand how that might change the future quarters. So, if we get 230,000 production, this will all look just stupid. So, but hey, we've got nothing else to do, right? So, in fairness, maybe we should do a counter scenario here. We've seen Tesla can do 42,000 in a month, and honestly, let's not be ridiculous. They should be able to do 45,000. This would be 30% growth in 6 months. I think that's definitely nothing crazy for Tesla to be able to do. They've already hit these run rates. It would just be about maintaining uptime. Sounds like there's going to be a week of downtime to start off October. So, oh, sorry, these aren't labeled correctly, obviously. Let me just fix that quick. October, November, December. This happened to me last time we went through these too. Apologies if that caused any confusion, but anyway, so I think there's supposed to be some downtime in October here. So let's just lower that even a bit, and then maybe these come up. I think that's pretty reasonable. And then let's say Fremont's, 108,000 plus we get S and X in there. Maybe there's chip shortage stuff, 115,000. I think 255, 260, that's probably like the lowest I would probably go. And that, again, this assumes no production for Berlin and Texas. So I think that's pretty low bar there. These numbers in here right now add up to 897,000, so still well ahead of street consensus. Even if you take out 20,000 this quarter, you'd still be at what, 877? And again, that's still above street consensus, at least for deliveries. So yeah, I feel good. Even if the numbers are lower this quarter, from what I expect, I think we're still looking at a pretty good result for the year versus what Wall Street's thinking right now. All right, so let me pop back into chat here. We've got 8 minutes till the top of the hour, so might as well at this point stay. Let's check on the poll results. Looks like we're 2,400 votes. Results have stayed pretty similar. Yeah, we've had some people drop off, I think, of the stream. No worries. That makes sense. Okay. Still nothing. But yeah, we'll give it till maybe like 9:05 Central Time, and if not, then we'll probably call it. Obviously, I'll keep my eye out, and we'll hop back on a live stream later today if we do get the numbers, or whenever that is this weekend. I will be available. So I know we've got some super chats coming in. Sorry, I didn't, don't want to miss any of those for sure. So let me take a second here and find them. Gets tech again. I've seen many fellow YouTubers on the R1T bandwagon calling it the Cybertruck killer. Have you had the chance to drive and review the truck? I have not. Which should probably tell you something about those reviewers. Not that Rivian's gonna like call me up and tell me to drive it, but things like that, they're often, company sponsored. Not necessarily that the company is paying them, but the company might fly them out, make them feel good about having that special, unique opportunity, which it's a cool opportunity, not denying that. But there is some bias there. And just like I have bias with Tesla that it's important to disclose, it's important to consider the bias in those types of videos too. So anyway, I haven't had a chance to drive it. Obviously, I can't comment too much on that. I don't think it's really the same class of vehicle like the as the Cybertruck. Obviously, they're both pickups, but the Rivian is it's pretty small. Four, I think 4 foot, 4.5 foot bed. Cybertruck's full size, six and a half foot bed. So they're different vehicles. Cybertruck a lot more payload capacity, more range. It's definitely not a Cybertruck killer, and obviously you don't have the supercharger network yet. Maybe that changes. But yeah, that's certainly I don't view it as a threat to Tesla. Like I said earlier, there's plenty of market to go around. I know we've interacted a lot, but again, just like you sent me last time the super chat, I don't know how to say this. But someone here saying you should be proud to be a self-made man, but would you accept an offer from CNBC if the price was right? No. No, I would not. I mean, unless I had like creative authority. Not that that would ever happen. Or unless they want to pay me like a lot. I mean, everyone's got a price, right? If they come in and say, "Hey, Rob, I'll give you $1 billion to do one CNBC show," I would say, "Absolutely." But it's unlikely. Another person from Norway. Will you be posting a new FSD beta testing video this weekend? Yeah, I don't know if Jossum is watching the live stream right now, but Jossum's maybe not hard at work yet, but he's working on an edit. We took it out for a couple drives earlier this week, so we've got some stuff to share. Took the drone out, so that should be exciting. We've got a oh my dad's on here. Shout out to my dad. Thanks, Dad. And if my mom's watching, shout out to my mom as well. That's always fun. Now I'm nervous. But anyway, yeah, Jossum's working on an edit with the beta footage for a drone video. Let me just refresh. I'm gonna flip back to Safari here because we're coming up on 9 o'clock. There we go. So, yep, nothing yet. But yeah, we should have that beta video out tomorrow. And what I was gonna say is, in the meantime, so we did put this unlisted video. Let me try and grab that. So many of you may not have seen this because obviously unlisted. But just in case you didn't catch it in that episode earlier this week, so we had like a 17-mile, half-an-hour drive. The video is edited, so it's sped up through the boring parts. So it's a pretty good watch. If you guys do want to see like how the FSD beta works in just like a normal driving situation, which obviously when we take it downtown, we're kind of stress testing it. But what I've been saying is why I'm okay with the wide release is because the all right, so I'm putting this in chat right now for anyone that wants to follow that. Should be there. That's more of like when people are going to be actually using the beta. Like, no one is going to try to convince themselves that they can just go in like downtown Manhattan and drive the beta through Times Square and not do anything right now. But you can go out to Econawalk, like we talked about before, and turn on the beta, and you're probably going to have a zero disengagement drive. Like, it functions very well in those environments. And I think that's what most people are going to use it for. And it adds tremendous value in those scenarios. Jay here asking, why did I assume 9:30 a.m. Eastern time? Good question. So my basis for that was when Tesla last released numbers on a Saturday, so it was Q4, that's when it was. Usually they release them 7:30 a.m. 7:30 a.m. Central Time, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time during the week. The last time they did on a Saturday, it was 8:30 a.m. Central Time, 9:30 a.m. Eastern. So Tesla usually with their releases is, you know, they're pretty consistent lately. Not so much in the past, but that's why I assumed that time. Ooh, I think we're really behind here. You should make this a podcast. Sure, yeah, I'll post this. I think it's hopefully it's good weekend listening, right? Great work as ever. Any chance getting James Stevenson on the chat for financial sometime? Yeah, James is great. Yeah, should definitely have him on sometime. James, if you're watching, just hit me up. I wouldn't be surprised if he is. Jem, thank you. Appreciate that. Charlie here. Did you just tell a podcaster to make a podcast? It's actually good feedback because I was probably just going to leave this on YouTube. Zooming in. But yeah, kind of funny. Brad says, I'm less interested in units sold, most interested in gross margin per unit. Hey, me and you, bro. Well, actually, I'm most interested in production, but secondarily to that, I'm most interested in margin after that. And we'll obviously talk more about what that side of the business is as we approach earnings, which should be on, like, let's check the calendar here. And then we're coming up on the 9 o'clock slot. So, yeah, I think earnings are going to be Monday, October 25th. So as we approach that, we'll obviously go through my earnings expectations. And yeah, spoiler alert, like, they're good. I mean, depends what the numbers are, but I couldn't have been more clear about how excited I am for Q3 throughout this quarter or so, and even before. Trevor wants to see the mullet. You'll see it in the self-driving videos. I always kind of laugh because people think I have like a hairpiece or something. It's just tucked away back there. Just catching up here. All right, so 9 o'clock. Let's see. Come on, Tesla. Don't leave me hanging. Nothing yet. We'll see. Just too many cars to count this quarter, I guess. So yeah, maybe we'll get it later today. As I've said, though, you know, Tesla has only said in the past that they just are going to release it within 3 days of quarter end. So it could be the first, the second, or the third. Third being tomorrow. But Tesla has before released it on the 4th. That was like 5 years ago. So it could even be on Monday as well. All right, so we're past 9 o'clock, so let me just get through the rest of these super chats, and then we'll probably wrap it up for now. You know, this could go in perpetuity, so I don't know how long your interest is going to sustain. But I'll run out of stuff to talk about eventually. Ask Martin Vieca if he's working today. Martin, if you're watching, post those numbers. Just kidding. Post it on your own time. Martin's the director of IR, for those that don't know what's that's about. Thank you, Kyle. Da-da-da. Thank you, Robert, who also loves spreadsheets. Must run in the name. Somebody hates Tesla. Okay, don't know who that is. Just catching up. We got a lot of chats to go through here. And again, I do apologize if I miss any of the super chats. Any idea if expansion of production, 2170 production, if expansion of... Sorry, I feel like I'm like minorly dyslexic. I'm not really sure. Any idea if expansion of 2170 production from Gigafactory Nevada / LG has stalled? By my numbers, if expansion... By my numbers, if expansion continued as planned, 3 million per year could be built without 4680. I think Tesla's talent constrained in Giga Nevada. That seems to be the trend. And if you noticed, remember when Elon said, like, we don't have a location for our fourth Gigafactory yet? Well, obviously we have Giga Shanghai. Obviously we have Texas. Obviously we have Berlin. But then there's also Giga Nevada. So it seemed like it kind of got ignored in that statement, which might be a little bit telling in terms of how Elon thinks about it going forward. Obviously, it's been great so far, but I don't think they have huge plans to grow Nevada, just, again, I think because of the talents. And then, obviously, their next gigafactories came in Austin and Berlin, like, to, you know, it's very different than Sparks, Nevada. Okay. Well, finally catching up to everyone saying hi to my dad. I wonder if that'll be the biggest spike in the comments. Well, let me just see if they're out. Nothing yet. Thanks, Robbie. You're amazing. Do you agree with Dave Lee? Long-term, highly optimistic views on Tesla. So I know Dave put a video out just like saying he raised his ceiling on his expectations or whatever. To be honest, I tend not to really watch much else on YouTube. You know, it's just not something first of all, I don't really watch YouTube videos all that much in general. I'm more of a reader. And, you know, I obviously a ton of respect for Dave's work. I just haven't happened to watch that video. I try not to let those other, you know, there's obviously a ton of Tesla content out there, and I just try not to let it influence me too much. Because then it's like, oh, well, they already talked about this. Can I not talk about this? Or like, they already made this point. Guess I shouldn't make this point. It's just kind of like a weird thing to get into. So I tend to just not really do much of that. Thanks, Kit, again, and Dara Denick. Again, just trying to catch up and make sure I didn't miss any of those super chats here. Jonathan, Rob, if Buffett is the Oracle of Omaha, what's your title? Maybe the Mage of Milwaukee. community will provide. I'm happy with just Rob. That's fine. Any feeling about the potential Foxconn purchase of Lordstown? Not particularly. I know there's some speculation out there that maybe that's like an Apple tie-up. I guess I don't really know if Foxconn does too much in the vehicle space right now. So yeah, maybe it's something I should look into a little bit more. I don't have any real particular thoughts quite yet. So this is kind of a response from somebody else on that Rivian question. So Rivian is not a Cybertruck killer. Cybertruck is not a Rivian killer. Rivian is not an F-150 killer. And F-150 is not a Rivian killer. However, Cybertruck and Rivian together hurts the F-150. I think I would mostly agree with that. Rob, what are your parents' opinions of BEVs and their opinion of Tesla as an investment? Great question. I've obviously been sharing my confidence in Tesla for many years now. We do we've had many conversations about Tesla over the years, and my parents do have some, you know, I've convinced them to buy a little bit of Tesla too. I don't think they're quite the conviction that I have, but yeah, in general, they like electric vehicles, and Tesla, very supportive. So, Jack asking, will you offer shares in your future ventures for those that are long Rob Mauer? We'll see. I mean, I don't know that what I'm trying to do really will make sense in that way, but anytime you take on an investment, you kind of like have to provide a return on it. And that kind of changes, like, if I had investors in Tesla daily, they'd probably want me to like advertise on the audio podcast, for example, because it's kind of just like throwing money away not to. Thanks, Carson, for the super chat. But it's not like obviously I gotta make some money and stuff, you know, I'm putting a lot of work into this, but I hope it's clear that I'm not just like trying to like maximize revenue, if that makes sense. And investors, obviously, that's kind of what they want in general. Not to say that all investors, but... Bradford here asking, what do you think about the shape of the Rams for Austin in Berlin? What? I don't know if that's like a autocorrect thing. Think about the shape of the Rams for Austin. Sorry, Bradford. I don't. You can DM me on Twitter if I didn't understand that question. Sorry. Thoughts on aging parents buying FSD to lock in the price for a personal chauffeur in the future? Yeah, I mean, everyone's situation is different, so I guess it kind of depends on, what situation you're in. Thank you. All right, I'm getting close to the bottom here. And I know we got a bunch of non-super chat questions too. It's just like there's too many comments here to go through for that, and it just kind of highlights the super chat stuff. So, and obviously I appreciate those too. Eddie, love your spreadsheets. If Tesla does hit 250,000, I would rather they release the numbers on Monday since that would have the maximum effect. Yeah, that's a fair point, but at the same time, I don't think Tesla cares too much about that. The effect that it's going to have is going to be the same. Like, yes, maybe that would cause a bigger spike on Monday or next week or whatever, but 6 months from now, it doesn't matter if Tesla releases it today, tomorrow, Monday, next Friday. It doesn't matter. The numbers are the numbers, right? Whenever they release them, that gets applied into the stock, and the stock will reflect that. So, yeah, I don't want Tesla to consider things like that, and I don't think that they are. Consider the value of FSD for those of us with driving. Jay, I'm not sure exactly what the question is on that part. I do think that obviously FSD is going to become more and more valuable over time. I don't think it's quite there at this point yet. But hopefully, I mean, it's probably helpful at this point, I guess, but to what extent and how much of a solution it ends up being, I think is open. Thanks for that. Looks like James, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure James will get in touch. Hi Rob, did you see the Wall Street Journal article on data privacy and autonomous cars? How is affect Tesla FSD and Dojo? I don't think I have actually seen that article. Paul, if you want to DM me a link, I'll check it out. Just shoot that to me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, if you can, and I'll take a look at that. You should set up a stream lab. You may not be all about the dollars, but a little extra dollars might be nice. YouTube takes too much. YouTube does take too much. I don't think Streamlab helps with that, but maybe I'm not informed with that. I do actually have a Streamlabs account, but I just haven't had much time to figure it out. All right, I think we finally got to the end of the chats there. And again, sorry if I missed any. Yeah, so we're 11 past the top of the hour now. Looks like no numbers yet. So I think we'll probably just have to call it here. Thanks, Stefano, for the super chat. Cool. Well, sorry, guys. As I said yesterday, no certainty on if the numbers would come out at this point in time. I expected it at this point, but I guess that's on me for going too much off of what Tesla's done in the past. So we'll keep an eye out. If we get the numbers right after I close off the stream, maybe we'll get them at like 9:30 Central Time. I'll keep an eye out, and once we do, I'll certainly be ready to live stream. So just keep an eye on the channel, and yeah, thanks Martin and John for those super chats as we wrap up here. But yeah, so what I was saying, just make sure you've got notifications on if you do want to, keep an eye out for that live stream later, whenever we get the numbers. And yeah, hopefully not too big of a waste of a time. I think the conversation was interesting, and yeah, I will throw it on the podcast feed too for audio listeners as well. So with that, we'll wrap it up. And again, sorry the numbers didn't come out during this window like I expected. But we'll see. We'll see when we get them, and certainly be ready to analyze them and talk about them when we do. So thanks for bearing with us. Hopefully it was still a good conversation. Make sure you're subscribed, notifications on. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And yeah, I'll see you whenever we get the numbers. And if we don't get them today or tomorrow, we'll at least have the FSD beta video hopefully ready to go tomorrow. So thanks for tuning in, everybody, and yeah, we'll see you soon.